Kevin Martin is now going into the Canadian Curling Hall of Fame. He joins us now. Kevin, how are you?
Hi. Well, everything's going all right. Thanks.
Hey, when you, anytime you're a Hall of Famer, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good phone call to get.
Who makes the phone call, and walk us through what's said?
Yeah, well, it was one of the board guys from the Canadian Curling Association, and it was only about 2 weeks after the Players' Championship, so I was having a good laugh with him, going, well, that's one way to make darn sure there's no comeback. But to do the Hall of Fame thing 2 weeks after, go, holy smokes, that was quick. But, it was that's quite an honor, and it was really a shock that soon after the Players' Championship this year.
Speaking of comeback, Kevin, lot of people have wondered, maybe he'll come back. Is there any chance, or do you think for sure you're done in competitive curling?
Yeah, no, there's zero chance. No. I thought about it after Vancouver, but I was scared of exactly that, where, you know, I would have been 43 then, and I figured, you know, that would have been kind of questionable, but boy, trying to get, you know, 4 more years, tried hard to get to Sochi, didn't, but I'm more than ready. It's all good.
When you look back on your career, Kevin, and you know what, it was unique. Curling's went through a lot of changes. For you, of course, you know, there was the years where you're kind of battling because your guys were, you know, changing the briar. When you look back, what are you most proud of about your curling career?
It depends if you're talking on the ice or off the ice. On the ice, the amount of work and effort and then winning the gold in Vancouver, that has to be number one on the ice. Off the ice, certainly the Players Association, the players getting together in 2001, all those years to make some important changes to the game that were necessary and have went forward all these years later and have turned out to be such a good idea. So that I'm really proud of as well. But that was off the ice. So it depends which way you're talking, but certainly Vancouver on the ice.
Off of the ice, what was the biggest challenge throughout your career?
Curling when I got started, now this is going back a few years, but in the mid to late 80s, when we were just kind of getting going, curling was certainly, I guess if you want to call it a hobby sport, really. There wasn't much as far as an organized tour. Therefore, there wasn't a lot of television. And, of course, therefore, there wasn't a lot of corporate support or sponsorship. So I guess the toughest thing would have been just getting the game going corporately and having it grow. And that was probably the toughest part of the entire picture. Once we were able to get the TV contract to be able to have the tour events and the Grand Slam events on TV, that enabled the curlers to wear the sponsorship to attract corporate Canada to get involved. And therefore now you've got the young curlers that don't really have a job in the winter. They just curl and they might do something in the summertime, but that's where the biggest from the late 80s to today, that's the biggest challenge there's been is to make it so that we can train as hard as we need to compete with the rest of the world but be able to live at the same time. So, you know, that's been kind of the trick, but it's certainly a good spot. Now, if I was a 20-year-old just getting going in the game and being good at it, it'd be a very exciting time for sure.
There's pioneers in every sport, Kevin, and you know, you look at it, you know, guys like Ted Lindsay when they fought to get a salary gap and, you know, to make it have a union for the NHL, that really helped them. And you know, you look back, and I've had some young curlers talk about it and mention to me that, you know, guys of your generation, and you know, they specifically mentioned Kevin Martin, guys who really pushed, as you just explained, to make curling more of a financially viable sport. Is that something that, you know, do you hear often, and how do you respond to that? Who are some of the other guys, along with yourself, you think that helped push that through?
Well, going back all those years, what had to happen for IMG Canada at the time, back in the late 90s, was we needed to have 18 of the top 20 teams in the world agree to promote and spend their time playing on the tour in the Grand Slam property, and therefore, for a short period of time, boycotting the Briar. we needed 18 of the top 20 for the deal to get done, and we got 18 of the top 20, and that's what changed the game. So all 18 of those teams that were willing to stand together to make the changes, that's what's changed the game, those 18. Without those 18, we're back in the dark ages still, and the young kids that are coming up, there's no financial possibility for them. So and the game would not be anywhere near where it is today if it weren't for the 18 teams that stood together, for sure. There's absolutely no question about that.
Kevin Martin, one of the best players in curling history, inducted into the 2014 Canadian Curling Hall of Fame, was announced earlier today, joins us. Kevin, the game also, you know, outside of the sponsorship and the dollars, just the style of the game really changed under you, you know, became more allowing your skill rather than just be, a peel and roll and everybody just playing for one end. How much more exciting is the game now, do you feel? And is there any ways to make it even more exciting?
Well, it is. The ratings, I guess, tell us how exciting it is. The ratings are fantastic on TV, and it's a very aggressive game. It used to be, like you're saying, it used to be a very defensive game. And I know, you know, most sports in existence, they really struggle with trying to get the sport that they really enjoy to be more offensive. And curling has done that. And so I guess what I'm worried about is curling going in the way of all the other sports, where it becomes a very much a defensive battle to win. Right now, the game of curling used to be a 3-2, 4-2, 4-3 type of score was normal. Now, we're playing the biggest games, be it the trials finals, the Olympic finals, all of these huge games. And the final scores are 8-6, 9-7, 10-6, like high-scoring, high-octane type games. And that's really entertaining for the crowd and for the curlers themselves. With that offensive style, what it's forced is you've got a lot younger athletes, much more fit, because you can't play an offensive style of any sport and not get tired. So it's forced the hand of all the players to become more professional on and off the ice all year round, 12 months. So with that, Corporate Canada goes, wow, I can't believe these curlers. This is never the way it used to be. And so they get more involved. And it's just, I guess, more of a positive flow all the way around. If you look at the entire sport all the way around, there's a very positive flow going right now, and I think a lot of it has to do with the style of play being so offensive-minded.
And it must, as a player, it just makes the game way more entertaining and way more exciting. Talk about the advancements in the physical stature of the players, Kevin, and how it's become now a year-round training, and how has that made the curling better because you guys are in better shape?
Right, and that's where it's funny, you know, it doesn't matter what sport you look at, and if it's hockey or if it's football or whatever the case may be, there's always been that big change. It used to be the hockey guys would go into training camp to get in shape. Well, it's not like that anymore. And curling's not like that anymore. You've got we used to take about the last 10 years, 2 weeks off at the end of the season, do nothing. But then, boy, you're right back in the gym in early May and you pound your way through to September before you get on the ice. That's made a large difference in I guess, probably the big games we watch on TV, the semis and the finals. These guys have been playing and banging their heads for 4 or 5 straight days, but the energy level hasn't decreased near the end, and therefore the athletes aren't getting sloppy. The play has maintained itself at a very high level right to the end. It never used to be that way. It used to be the great games were midweek once you've the conditions are known, the rocks are known, all of that. And then when you get near the end of the week, the athletes would get tired. And some of the sloppiest games were in the semifinals and finals years ago.
Yeah,
it's just not like that anymore. The best games are right at the end. All the variables are known in the building. You've got the big crowds. You've got the big ratings. And the games are in the low to mid 90% level now. It's just awesome. And I think that's the biggest change. It's forced the athlete's hand. If you're going to be a champion in curling now, you better have the physical whereabouts to be able to play for 7 straight days at 9 hours a day and still at the end have the energy to compete at a 90 to 95% level. It's not for everyone, but it sure is fun to watch and be part of.
Kevin, we've had a lot of people texting and asking, why would the curling championship maybe put a tour like the senior PGA tour? You think there's any possibility of that?
I don't know. Possibly, I suppose, with so many of the guys all about the same age.
Yeah.
But I won't be part of it.
No.
if I'm in any kind of senior stuff, it'll be some sort of really bad senior golf.
Okay.
Maybe a 10 handicap type of bad senior golf I'll be part of. No, anything on ice for me going forward will be definitely working with people, be it kids and through academies and teaching and that type of thing will be the only thing I'll be doing on ice. And then, of course, getting involved with Sportsnet and Rogers for the Grand Slam property and doing the commentating going forward. So that's what I'm really looking forward to now, yeah.
Kevin Martin joins. Kevin, I have to ask you, I thought it was a great rule to bring in, like a Team Canada for the men in the Brier like they have in the women. However, the first year they brought it in just coincided with the end of the Olympic four-year circuit, and now these teams are all changing. So you're going to have Team Canada being represented by guys that didn't even win. What is there any way to change that the next time this happens?
Well, that was sure funny. yeah, that would have been an interesting meeting to be part of. They never brought, for that not to be thought of. But, the idea of a Team Canada, I think, is fantastic. Unfortunately, yes, it was a bit of a blunder to not have thought of that. But that's neither here nor there. I don't think that matters long term.
Okay.
It is terrific to have a Team Canada come back. In order to be the champ, you should have to beat the champ.
Yeah.
And that's just not really been the way in curling. And this will force that to happen. I understand this year it probably shouldn't happen till next year, but that's okay. And going forward, maybe you don't have the previous Team Canada come in. Maybe you have the Olympic champ.
Well,
that team's staying together for sure.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think it would be possible? Do you think it would be a good thing having been an Olympic champ and played in the Brier? Could you have that year that you were represented Canada at the Olympics? Do you think that you still should be able to be in the Brier?
On the year we actually competed in the Olympics.
Yeah.
No. Okay. No, you're too busy.
Okay.
No. That wouldn't be good.
Okay.
But so you're not even in the playdowns. So that's what I mean by maybe that year, because the Olympic team doesn't even compete for it that
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good year where, because the teams are all going to be changing and just as a safeguard for the Canadian Curling Association, so you don't have this happen again. Instead, it's just, in this case, Brad Jacobs, your team will be Team Canada at the Brier.
Yeah.
Which would be great.
Sure.
I see no problem with that, and that would safeguard against what happened with Kevin Cooey's team this year, and because I think that will be quite common. Curling works in a four-year cycle now, and every 4 years, teams will change dramatically. And so, there is a pretty good chance that the team that wins by the next year will change a player or two. So you're right. I agree with you. It kind of probably should have waited till next year, or had Brad Jacobs been, or whoever won the Olympic trials and went to the Olympics, be Team Canada. And, in a discussion like this will certainly get some texts and emails flowing. But I think that's a good discussion to have.
Kevin Martin joins us. One last one for you, Kevin. You talk about the curling world changing in four-year cycles, a lot of teams mixing and matching to go with different guys. Are the rules in place, are they fair? Because there's some people that suggest, well, you've got them representing Alberta, but only one or two guys living there full-time. Do you think it's the right way? Because this allows guys to play with who they want to, and it doesn't necessarily matter if they're all homegrown Alberta talent, or do you think that's something that they need to have for each province?
Yeah, well, I don't think the sports world, I'm trying to think of any sport, there probably is one, but I can't think of it, that at the highest levels dictate any type of regional thing. So I can't imagine that we could ever have our Olympic teams be chosen in any kind of a regional capacity. For any team, you need to try to set the absolute best team up you can to try to get to the Olympic Games. And if that takes a person from Manitoba and one from Saskatchewan, one from Alberta and one from PEI, well, so be it. Because that's what you need to do to get to and for Korea, I guess, will be the next Winter Olympics. So the days of making sure all four players are from one province at the very highest levels, be it the Grand Slam level or at the Olympic level. For the Brier, though, that's still a regional event. Mm-hmm. That's different. So the teams that do wish to try to get to a Brier, get to a world championship, I believe that to be a bit of a different direction. And that's going to become more and more visible, I think, as time goes on, because Alberta should still be Alberta Curlers, I think. If you're Team Alberta in fastball, your pitcher should be from Alberta, I think.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to bring one in from California and throw smoke and win Alberta. I don't see that being correct. I think you should have your Alberta curling team should be an Alberta team. Likely, but you can obviously, as we're talking here, we can see the problems going forward.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these cash events and all this promotion and the corporate stuff and the Olympics and the Olympic trials, and you've got that side, and you want to have that PEI, Ontario, whatever, the four provinces, what I just mentioned. You've got that team set together. Okay. Well, that team probably can't play in the playdowns because they're from four different provinces. So what do they do? So that, you know, that's a bit of a conundrum that's been caused by the growth of curling and how fast it's grown and trying to set up teams good enough to compete internationally and at the highest stage in our sport. So, you know, I guess it's a problem that's only happened recently, and it's something that's going to have to be talked about. And I guess the market will decide.
Well, Kevin, congratulations. Well-deserved honor going into the Canadian Curling Hall of Fame. And we will be watching you on the broadcast now behind the mic, where I can tell you it's much easier than being on the ice.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. On the ice is pretty fun. I hope I have as much fun with the commentary.
But well,
thanks a lot for having me on the show today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Kevin. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.